Grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue our video sermons and our gathering together in this way. Like you, I hope that this ends soon, but we obviously want to all be safe as well. So this is the message for Palm Sunday. Right now is Saturday afternoon, but this weekend and tomorrow is Palm Sunday. So the gospel reading from Matthew chapter 21 is the triumphal entry, and those words are these. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied, and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when he returned to Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." So, as I've already said, I'm sure that most of us would rather be in church. I was going to say I'd rather be in church, but I am in church, but only just with a few videographers here with me. I would say this. It's going to be a strange Holy Week this year, isn't it? I've talked to many people on the phone, Facebook, emails, and people are already missing church, but they're really saying this week, "I'm going to miss church. I'm going to miss being in church in Holy Week." A strange Holy Week. Palm Sunday begins this holiest week of the church year. And I always think of this as I was preparing. Whenever times are tough, we immediately yearn for simpler times, don't we? We remember when times were easy, not quite so complicated. And we think, man, if only it was like that. I'm yearning for simpler times. And I know we can say that. We can think that. We feel in our hearts, "I wish we had simpler times." But I know in my head, some of you know what I'm about to say. Renee certainly does because she heard me say this for years and years. There's no such thing as simpler times, right? There is no such thing as simpler times. When we were children, our parents protected us from it. And then when we were teens and in our 20s, our mind gets nostalgic and we paint it as something other than it was. Isn't that the case? There is no such thing as simpler times. We think that Holy Week 2020 is going to be a strange week. Well, I want to be very clear about this. No stranger than the first Holy Week, right? No stranger than the first Holy Week. This is what happens to us whenever we read the scriptures. We've read them. We've read them through and through. So reread Palm Sunday, and I know where this is going. You know where it's going. We know where it's headed. But I always think whenever I read my Bible, I want to try to cast my mind to be with the disciples and think of them living through it in real time. What was that like to experience the first Holy Week, not knowing, we were reading Matthew 21, not knowing Matthew 28, right? We can read the whole thing. So you're living Matthew 21, and you're thinking, this is great. We've been following Jesus for 3 years. More and more people are following him. The movement is growing. Now we're at Jerusalem, and everybody's singing and shouting, "Hosanna." They are actually thinking, this day anyway, right, the rest of the week's going to change. But today, they're thinking, Jesus is about to sit on the throne. This is why they've been arguing. "Jesus, when you come in your throne, can I sit on your right and my brother sit on your left?" They're thinking, here we are. We've been touring around the entire country for 3 years. We're about to have him sit. So Palm Sunday, what were the disciples thinking? They're thinking, cool. This is great. I like this. And then what happens after Palm Sunday? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Those days were actually still good days. Jesus was going to the temple. He was teaching. More and more people were coming to him. The authorities didn't like him, but more and more people were liking him. So they were thinking, and not to mention, Jesus' teaching is never anything less than fascinating. So Monday or Sunday was cool. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, they're thinking, this is fascinating to hear Jesus teach. Thursday night, the supper, they're celebrating the Passover. He changes what it means. We'll be talking about all these things in later days this week, of course. But they're sort of probably thinking, I'm not sure I get all that, but okay. When he was arrested, what were they thinking in real time? How long ago Sunday suddenly fell? The arrest, the trial, the crucifixion, devastating. Most of them could not even be found there at the cross. Devastating. Saturday, the quietness. I always think of Saturday. Jesus is dead and buried on a Friday. Saturday, the quietness. Who's enjoying that so far? Right? Now we have a big dose of that, don't we? Stay at home. Don't leave your house. Don't go places. Quarantine. Quietness is hard. It's tough. Sunday. Resurrection, exhilarating. Again, cool to follow Jesus. Although it's always so funny to think exhilarating and yet at some level kind of shocking, right? Kind of shocking. Think of those disciples. Here we are at Palm Sunday and we know what happens Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Sunday to Sunday, that's 8 days. 8 days for the disciples to live through that strange week for them. Strange, strange week. I want to say something else. Not only are there never any simple times, there's never simple situations, right? I want to mention the different factions that existed in that society. When we say that our society has factions, you know what they are, right? You could start labeling what kind of groups are there. What kind of, I don't mean just political parties, but what kind of people, what do they think, how do they congregate? And we know and think again, oh, these are complicated times. And we forget that it was just as complicated in the first century. I want to mention some of the groups just so we are aware that Jesus lived in complicated times. The first group that comes to my mind is the Sadducees. These are religious people. They're connected to the temple. These are the guys that wear robes. They're connected to the official worship that happens officially. They're the priests, but weirdly, they don't think there's angels. They don't believe in the resurrection from the dead. They don't believe in eternal life. I sometimes look at those folks and call them the high church liberals. They have the practices of the church, but they don't believe the scriptures. The second group is the Pharisees. We always read our Bible and say, I know the Pharisees are the bad guys. We should know that the average person in the street thought the Pharisees were good because they were righteous. They were holy and they were careful about their living. That part's good, but what else were they? Superior, judgmental. I follow the rules, I'm better than the other guy, right? That's those guys. I would say about them, pure and proud of it. Sadducees, Pharisees, there's the Herodians. That's the politically connected people, pro-government people. They were in it just for the power. They didn't care about the religious squabble. They just like to be connected to power and money. There's always those people. By the way, the Herodians want peace. They want peace and quiet because they want their position to be preserved, right? That's the Herodians. There's the Zealots. The Zealots say all those guys are wrong. Those guys are all wrong, and we hate the Romans so bad we'll take up the sword. And they weren't people that talked about it. They weren't bloggers. They were people who took up the sword. The Zealots. And then the last major group, I'll get to a couple more even, but the biggest of the groups that identified as a group is the Essenes. They looked at the whole thing and they said, everybody's corrupt. All of those responses are wrong. The Essenes just withdrew and lived in monasteries out in the desert. There is always that impulse to say the world is so corrupt we have to entirely withdraw from it. So imagine that, Sadducees, Pharisees, Herodians, Zealot, Essenes, complicated, right? That the world in which Jesus lived and moved and taught. I don't want to leave out this group of people I'm going to call regular people. Regular people. They sort of see the movements. We see the bloggers. We can read the stuff. You see what floats on Facebook. And don't we read a lot of it and shake our head at this and we shake our head at that and we think, where's room for me? The regular people, they're not quite sure, right? Many of them have watched Jesus. They've been watching what he's been doing and saying. Many of them are hoping that he's the Messiah. And then the last of the last groups I'll mention is there's this small little band of people, Jesus' disciples, the ones who have decided Jesus is the Messiah. And as much as we'd say, oh, those guys are actually right, they're always saying the wrong thing, aren't they? Jesus told them before Holy Week, he said, I'm going up to Jerusalem to be betrayed into the hands of evil men, to be murdered by them, and then arise again on the third day. What did the disciples say? Never, Lord, that'll never happen to you. Peter, of all people, confronts Jesus right to his face. That'll never happen to you. So that's the religious surroundings. So I just mention all that complexity. Again, first of all, there's never been a simple time. And second of all, imagine now Jesus coming into Jerusalem. What's going on that day? Jesus has been working in the countryside. He's been preaching, he's been teaching, he's been performing miracles, he's been healing the sick, even raising the dead. And now he comes into Jerusalem, the capital city. That's where the Roman governor is. That's where the high priest is. That's where everybody has their headquarters. How simple is that? All that situation going on, in comes Jesus. There's the procession, there's the donkey, there's the streets full of people, there's the palm branches, there's the hosannas, there's the disciples thinking, cool. Complicated, right? Complicated. What did the crowds do? I think you've heard sermons on this before, but let's be clear about this. They are greeting Jesus as a conqueror. We say the donkey is simple. That's true. A donkey, a normal person rode a donkey. That's what's going on, right? The rich and the powerful rode a horse. The average person drove a donkey, right? But more than that, separate from the simpleness, you know who else rode donkeys? Conquerors. The war is over. The battle is over. I've so thoroughly won, I will ride a donkey into town. And very often, the powerful rode a donkey as a symbol of humility. But it was a symbol of victory, and they were greeting him, Jesus, as victor. They're waving palm branches. Yeah, the roads were dirty and dusty and even kind of crunchy or whatever you want to say, but they were laying them in there to make the walk a little better for the donkey. But a palm branch is a symbol of victory, too. People would wave it. Victory, especially for athletic victory. They were getting Jesus is a conqueror. And what did they say? Hosanna. Hosanna, that means save us. You often see it translated, save us now. It literally means save us, please. It's something you would, again, say only to the powerful. You could literally almost say that it means, Lord, save us. Bear in mind, Pharisees, Sadducees, Herodians, all those people. Jesus comes into town. Lord, save us. To whom are they not saying that? Pontius Pilate, or the high priest, or the scribes and the Pharisees. Those guys heard it. Hosanna, in one of the other Gospels, says, Hosanna to the Son of David. That's a politically charged phrase. Son of David, that means Jesus, this is the rightful king. We've been waiting for the king, to David, who was going to sit on the throne forever, not Pilate, this king. And Hosanna in the highest. In the highest is a reference to God. They're saying, God, act. Those are politically charged things, right? Jesus coming in, riding a donkey like a conqueror, the people waving palm branches, and saying to him essentially, Savior, King, and God. That's what people are saying. Palm Sunday, Savior, King, and God. I want to back up to make one more point. Right before Jesus entered the holy city, not in Matthew, but over in John. The triumphal entry in John is in John chapter 12. Back up one chapter, where are you? John 11. And that's Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. Jesus' good friend, Lazarus, gets sick. Jesus does not go to heal him, waits until he dies, then comes to the tomb 4 days after he's dead, and raises him from the dead. Now we could say, Jesus has performed miracles before. What's the difference about this one? It's in Bethany. Bethany is 2 miles east of Jerusalem. 2 miles. See, before that, Jesus has been doing miracles around the countryside, and the people in the capital city of Jerusalem were saying, oh, he's doing it out in the sticks. That stuff is myth and legend. We don't buy it. Simple people believe that. We don't. In Bethany, that's close to home. And you can read John chapter 11, and that's when the religious leaders start saying, and they literally say, this is getting us nowhere. I mentioned that backstory for us to know that Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead 2 miles from Jerusalem and then enters Jerusalem. Hosanna, loud Hosanna, glory to God in the highest. God acts, Savior and King, true Son of David. All those different groups that used to be different and separate and isolated, they will come together and form an alliance. The Pharisees don't like the Sadducees. Neither one of them likes the Herodians. But you know what they unite in? They all can say, Jesus has to go. It won't happen yet, but that's what's going on behind the scenes. The people, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna to the Son of David. But behind the scenes, an alliance is forming of Pontius Pilate, high priest, Pharisees, Herodians. Everybody comes together. Did you know that Jesus was gaining in popularity every day of Holy Week? We often talk about the people turning against him. That's actually not true. Just the leadership turned against him. Why was Jesus arrested at night? Why was Jesus convicted and tried at night? That was illegal against Jewish law to have a trial overnight. Jesus was arrested Thursday night, tried Thursday night into the wee hours of Friday morning, so that when the average person woke up on Friday morning thinking, what will Jesus say today? They were watching him go to the cross. Right? That's what was going on. People say, how did the voices change from Hosanna to crucify? The answer is they didn't. The people that said Hosanna woke up on Friday morning, where are they? On Friday morning, they're lining the street weeping, right? We'll talk about those things on Thursday and Friday. All that's later. For now, where are we? Palm Sunday. Savior, King, God. That's what Palm Sunday is. People knowing who Jesus was, confessing who he was, looking to him as the only answer in an extremely complicated situation. Nothing like simple times, but Jesus was the answer, right? This Savior, this King, this God. I said there are no simple times. That's not exactly right, right? There are sometimes brief periods of pleasantness and brief periods of simplicity. What do we do in those periods? We enjoy them, and what else do? We start to forget what matters. Isn't that what happens? I enjoy the pleasantries of life like anyone does. But when times are simple, when times are easy, we forget what matters. The tough time focuses the mind, doesn't it? It focuses the mind on what matters. Think of the disciples on the first Holy Week. As you live your Holy Week this week, the disciples on the first Holy Week, they were off balance every single day of it. I want us to know that. They were off balance every single day. So how do you feel this Holy Week? A little off balance, right? The disciples might have been off balance. You know who was not? Jesus. He knew what the plan was. That first Holy Week, he went there. He didn't get crucified against his will. He went there for that. He went there willingly for you and for me. He goes with us through whatever, not off balance for a moment. We rest in him, right? Jesus, Savior, King, God. Amen. The Lord's blessings be with you. I continue to pray for you to be safe and well. Be wise in your actions. Hope to see you at church very soon. Lord's blessings to all. Amen.